A few weeks ago, I had a dream. And I dreamed that I was preaching. Or that I would preach. I wasn't preaching that, but that I would preach on a call to greatness. And the next day, as I was meditating on that, I just felt sure that that would be at Grace Chapel. And you know, right away, as I meditated, I knew that that didn't mean a call to greatness in the way that the world thinks of it. And so just to introduce that whole idea, that whole thought, in Jeremiah 9:23, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise men glory in their wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness and mercy and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." So God delights if we want to glory in Him and in His Word. And in Matthew 20, verse 26, "But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man come not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." So, in all these accounts that Brother Zach read to you from Hebrews 11, not one of them was a case where they gloried in their wisdom or in their might or in their strength, but they gloried in the Lord. Their trust was in Him. And I believe that I just love this story of the little army of Israel on one occasion where they come up before they were just surrounded by a large host, the enemy. There was no way they could win. They were just so outnumbered. But God created a mirage up in the top of the mulberry trees, and it scared the enemy to death. And they fled, and Israel fled behind them and scored a great victory that day. So is there absolutely anything too hard for the Lord? Can He today, can He defeat ISIS? Can He defeat the people over there that are doing stuff, the terrorists and all those people? Can He defeat them? Absolutely He can. He speaks and it's done. He commands and it stands fast. And I believe that, and I'm hoping this, that we will, in the upcoming election, that we will choose somebody to represent us that loves God and that believes in God and believes in His Word and is not ashamed to say so. And there is such a man, and God is blessing him in the polls. And I hope and pray that God will have mercy upon us and help us through until that time can come, and then we will elect a man who will get the job done. And a man can't do that in his own strength. He must have the grace and strength of God. He must have His grace. And I believe that when God needed a leader, He didn't pick somebody that thought himself to be such a great speaker. He didn't pick somebody that thought he was just God's gift to the world. He picked a man that said he just didn't talk very well. Moses didn't have a good speaking ability, apparently. But God said, "Well, I'll give you Aaron as a spokesman." And so here was a case where God wanted him to lead his people out. And he chose a man that had been raised up right under Pharaoh's nose. But he chose one day to not any longer be known as the son of Pharaoh's. Man, he had everything ahead for him. He, in prosperity, he would replace the Pharaoh one day. No doubt, but he didn't want that. He chose rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy sin for a season. And I think that's the choice that you and I need to make. Sometimes people, they get this idea that, man, I need to associate with people that are wealthy. I need the prestige. I need to go with people that are really that really have a reputation in the world. But let me tell you, what we need is to be with God's people, and sometimes they are a poor and afflicted people. But whatever the case is, we need to be amongst God's people, those that love His name and that fear His name. He said, those that fear His name, there was a book of remembrance written for them. And I believe that that's the greatest thing that you could possibly have is for God to see your love and your and your desire. And that's real greatness, is whenever you want to be faithful and give God all the honor and the praise and the glory. And so you don't want to glory in your wisdom. You don't want to glory in your might. You don't want to glory in anything other than to glory in the Lord. And I believe that we are living in a day where we need people, real prayer warriors that are committed to praying. And I think that that our best days. I know that we'd be tempted now to maybe think that there's really no hope for us as a nation to pull out of the situation that we're in. But I believe our best days could be ahead of us if we would get a godly man in there, and then if we as churches would pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, and then He would hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our land. I believe that. I believe that God will do that. And I believe there are people across this country that are humbling themselves and praying like never before. I understand there is a prayer room there in the Capitol where men, before they go into the Senate and House, that they meet in prayer. We don't ever see that in the newspaper. We see about all this ungodly stuff and all the unbelievers, the people that want to be heard. And they're loud and clemish, and they really want to be heard. But the humble people that pray and seek His face, that's real greatness, is to humble ourselves and call on His name. And I believe that when you think of Gideon there, where he came up And God just, he sent so many of the people home, and he got them all narrowed down to where there were just 300 people left in the army. And then he blessed them because he didn't want them to say that they had victory because of their numbers or because of their strength, but he wanted them to see that the victory was in the Lord. And so they came up and scored a great victory. And I believe we need some Gideons today, and we need some people that really trust not in numbers, not in the strength and might of man, but in God. And then those that would truly give him all the praise and the glory and the honor. We don't need to take any of that to ourselves. We don't need to ever glory in our own wisdom. We don't have any in the first place that's worth a dime. If we have wisdom, the wisdom of God, that's great. That's wonderful. But then if we have the wisdom of God, we're not going to claim it as our wisdom. And we're not going to claim that we're going to be so smart. And we have a lot of smart people in Washington. We have smart people in our own states, Tennessee, Texas, Arkansas. We have people that think themselves to be so smart, and yet the Bible teaches us that those that would think that of themselves, they don't know anything that they ought to know. And what we need to know is that God is God, and there's none beside him. And he's the Lord over all, and in him is all wisdom and understanding and might and power. In him, to him be the glory and the honor and the praise for everything. God has called us to virtue and to wisdom, but he's called us to the wisdom of God. And the Bible says that by the wisdom of this world, that man cannot know God by the wisdom of this world. Man cannot approach unto God. Man can't get himself saved. There's nobody, as far as greatness is concerned, man needs to understand that not only can he not save anybody else, he can't save himself. He can't pull himself up by his own bootstraps. He must understand that salvation is of the Lord. And I believe that God taught Jonah that lesson, but he learned the hard way. There in the belly of that whale, and he was so rebellious. He was, y'all ever have the opportunity to see that play, Jonah, that they do over at Branson, Missouri? You be sure and see it. I'm telling you, that was something to see how they had done this so well that, you could hear the waves slashing against that boat, when the boat was about to sink. And, so when he told them to throw him overboard, they really fear, they come, those people, those men come to really fear God, you know, when they come to that place. But I hope that when he was swallowed by this whale, and then when God blessed the whale, and somebody said, well, that just proves that you can't keep a good man down. But I think it proves something else. I think that it proves that God could protect him while he was in that whale's belly, and put it on that whale a mind or whatever it was to vomit him up on dry land. And then he went and immediately to Nineveh, where he refused to go before, and he preached from the time he entered. People repented from the from his preaching, from the beggar in the street to the king on the throne. And the Bible says that men of this generation would they would be rebuked by Nineveh, because Nineveh repented and this nation did not repent. And that's been the case with, so man, I don't know why it is that people, there's so much in store for us when we repent and turn to God and we're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I don't know why people resist that so long. Sometimes people will go for years and they won't get, they'll just keep on putting it off. But why? Today's the day of salvation, and today's the day that we need to do what he says. And if you want to be great, be God's servant. Be the servant of God's people. That's where real greatness is learning to be a servant. And one of the first things we need to do if we want to be a servant is we want to do what God says and to quit running and to repent and turn to who needs to repent? All of us. Or when did we need to repent? We need to repent when God is laying it on your heart. If God shows you that you're a sinner, then you need to repent and turn. But well, what if I don't feel saved? Well, you probably won't feel saved until you obey him. He'll probably hold that back. As my grandson, he went so long because he felt like he'd read the scriptures about salvation. Joel would read that, and he would just he'd say, "Oh, how beautiful and how wonderful!" And I can see how God's people, God's elect, I can see how that they are saved, and I can view them as heaven being their home. But I don't think I don't deserve anything but hell, and I don't. And do you know what? When God just got to laying this heavier and heavier on him, so much so that he couldn't sleep, and so finally, he had told the Lord, "Well, Lord, if you're really wanting me to confess you before men and to repent and be baptized, then make it so that I can't sleep." So he went about three nights and he couldn't sleep. And I'm telling you, he got ready. He got ready to be baptized. But you know what? God began to give him some peace even before he was baptized, because once he confessed his sin before God, he knew he was on the right road. And then when he was baptized, the rest of that came. And I believe that God has that in store for all of his people, that when he begins to deal with you, and you feel yourself to be a sinner, then you need to act upon that. And if you confess him before men, then he will confess you before his Father. God wouldn't lay it on a wicked sinner that was not in his family, was not of the elect. He wouldn't lay it on their hearts that they're a bad sinner. They feel okay. They feel okay. They don't feel condemned. So if he's laying that on your heart, then that's evidence for you that he's that you're his child, but you're not going to get relief and real peace until you obey him. And so, if you want to be great amongst God's people and here on earth, then be God's servant and be the servant of his people. But never to be prideful, never to be, I hear people making shipwreck. They did seemingly pretty well for maybe several years, and then they departed from him. But don't do that. If he has begun a good work in you, he's able to perform that until the day of Jesus Christ. And don't ever quit. Don't quit. And in that verse, I'm glad you went ahead and read that verse from chapter 12. Wherefore, laying aside, we have to lay aside every sin every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be his servants and to lay aside every weight. Today there are just so many things to take people's heart and their mind away from him. The enemy has come in like a flood. But I believe that we can, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can trust in him, and in such a way that if he comes in one way, God is able to drive him out seven ways. And he's able to give you victory over sin. Then he will help you to reach a point to where you don't fear Satan, and you fear God, but you don't fear Satan, you don't fear dying, you don't fear what is out there. And I believe that we're at a point in where we need to really lay hold upon him, lay upon him, lay aside every weight in the sin which does so easily, and lay and rest our hope and our trust on him. To cast our care upon him, for he careth for us. He cares for you. He loves you, and he wants you to be happy. He wants you to love him. But he that loveth is begotten of God, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. That's greatness, is being God's servant and obeying him. That's real greatness, but it's not something you glory in and of yourself, but you glory in the Lord. And I pray today that God will bless this church, and that y'all have been a big a part of my life for many, many years here. And I am just so thankful that I could be here again today. And I hope that God will inspire you to be truly great in the Lord, that you would be great in obedience, great in being his servant. And I hope that God will give you a mighty deliverance in whatever you're facing, whatever it is, that you can cast that upon the Lord, and he'll see you through. It doesn't matter what it is. And so there's nothing too hard for him. And may the Lord bless you. And it's so wonderful to get to see you again, and to share God's word. May the Lord bless and keep you. It's my prayer.